You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com. Welcome to GoldRadio.fm, podcasting in 0.99995. I'm Jim Goddard. My guest is Jim Willey, founder of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com. Jim, welcome back to GoldRadio.fm.
Well, it's good to be back. We have another month, and this is going to be a wild ride, I must say. Either a wild ride or a magical mystery tour, and all the above. I tell you, Syria has changed things. The threat of tariffs has changed things. The proposal to include communist Canada in the United States, fascist United States, that's a marriage made in hell. So there's a lot going on. And some of it is confusing. I do my best to unwind the confusion, but I'm subject to it myself.
The latest issue of the Hat Trick Letter is out. Can you tell us about it and how people can subscribe?
Yeah, the November newsletter is out. It says N-O-W, and he means N-O-V. He's European, so he's got a little bit of the V and W influence mixing. But the November issue is out, and I've got an entire chapter on XRP. Did some research, got a bunch of information, a lot of interesting things, and that is the big highlight for this month. The previous month, I had an entire chapter on silver. Silver and gold have taken a little bit of a break. I think it's a dollar honeymoon with Trump. It won't last much longer, I believe. But golden-jackass.com is the website, and the newsletter is into its 21st year now. I'm no longer a youngster. I'm almost a senior citizen, and I like to think, and I believe it is the case, that with the help of my colleagues who are very sharp and a lot of very astute clients who've almost become like research assistants, I believe our perception and our intuition is rock solid. There are a few things in this crazy world at the highest levels that we don't delve into. You know, like the makeup of the Octagon Group and location of all the million-ton gold troves. I may never fully comprehend that, but that's okay. There's a lot going on, Jim, and I tell you, it's exciting, but it's also producing a good deal of anxiety. It's like the world is on a knife's edge right now, and the cabal is not done. So let's move on.
The Dow's pulling back after hitting new all-time highs above 45,000. What do you see ahead for the Dow?
Oh, I see some trouble. Maybe a Wile E. Coyote moment. What are we doing up so high? I think the U.S. economy is in tatters, and it's really easy money that's lifting the Dow rather than large-scale profitability. We're in an economic depression, and we got all-time highs for the stock market. If you can resolve that in 18 sentences or less, you're smarter than I am. The Dow, I think, is at least 70% overvalued. I wouldn't want to own a single stock in it. I think it's headed for a decline. And, you know, these expected continued rate cuts, I don't believe they're going to continue. And when that realization takes hold, I think the stock market is likely to sell off a bit, maybe even gather some momentum if the threat of 100% tariffs takes hold in the United States. And now Trump can say what he wants and say what his handlers order him to say, and he doesn't have to win in any more elections. So this tariff idea is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard in my adult life as an economic policy. So that's, I think, going to do some harm to the stock market, because it's going to be, I think, maybe even devastating to the U.S. economy. So yeah, overvalued by quite a bit, the Dow.
NASDAQ continues to hit new all-time highs this week. What's pushing the NASDAQ higher and higher?
Well, it's cheap money, easy money, monopoly money just pours into the market. But the NASDAQ is different. It has a lot of technology stocks. I think there's a general sense that technology is going to have a bigger role. And at the cusp, you have artificial intelligence and NVIDIA. And those are all great for changing a perception and actually producing a paradigm shift. So I would like NASDAQ more than the Dow and S&P 500, but I do believe that all the stocks are overvalued in the United States because we're in an economic depression. And those who don't see an economic depression, I accuse you of being blind or a New York Times effing moron. The price inflation is at least 6%, maybe 7% higher than the official number, which means the economic growth is 6 or 7% lower than what they claim, and that puts the nation into depression territory. And with the inflation, it's called inflationary depression. We're in scary times. We've never had worse economic deception in the numbers, in the data. And it's easy to parse out. It's ridiculously easy to parse out. I'll give you just one example. The Chapwood Consumer Price Index, 500 different items, 50 different cities in the United States, and their conclusion in 2023 was that we had between an 8.5% and a 10.5% price inflation, 8.5% to 10.5% price inflation. The bigger the city, the bigger the price inflation. The economy is ridiculously distorted as being positive. We're in an economic depression.
The U.S. dollar's been pulling back for a couple of weeks. Where do you think the dollar is headed from here?
I said right after the election, it was like 2 or 3 days after the election, I said, oh my gosh, look at this. We're seeing a dollar rally. And this is what I call a Trump honeymoon. The honeymoon is manifested in the financial markets as a rise in the dollar correspondingly, gold and silver sold off. But they maintained support above the previous ceiling. And that's really important from a technical standpoint. I claimed right after the election that we're probably going to see a couple weeks, maybe 3 weeks, who knows, where the dollar is going to maintain its high value, and it is not justified. It is not justified at all. And let me give you some quick constructs that support a higher dollar that are not part of reality. The dollar is rising because there's an expectation that the U.S. government debt is going to get resolved or fixed in some sense. Well, no, I think Trump might actually increase the deficit. He's going to make a new Department of Government Efficiency, so that's more hiring. It'll be different to get rid of people. So the deficit is not going to be fixed. The debt is not going to be fixed. Price inflation is not going to be fixed. And we're not going to have peace breaking out. Just look what happened in Syria. That's an example that Trump will not bring about an end to war. So Trump won't fix the deficit, won't fix the debt, won't fix price inflation, will be very slow in bringing down the size of government, and the budget cuts is going to be a war. So there's nothing in the constructs that has lifted the dollar that is based in reality beyond a short-term honeymoon kiss. I think the honeymoon is just about over with the war in Syria, which is very complex. The dollar is going to head a little bit lower, but remember, the dollar, when it dies, it rises. The dollar will go, I said this 8 years ago, the dollar is going to go up, up, and then up some more before it vanishes. The dollar will go up as it is dying. It's called a supernova, and it's very complex. It's full of paradoxes and not very well known. Crash is going to be manifested in the form of price inflation. The dollar is going to buy less. So that's the crash of the dollar. The dollar is going to go down of gold. Gold will go up. So that's the dollar crash. Dollar is going to go up relative to other forex currencies.
Could interest rates and especially mortgage rates be heading higher?
Yeah, I think once the Fed decides and announces that they're going to stop cutting rates, and when the financial markets figure that out, I think mortgage rates will reverse and go back up a little bit, but it's really not helped the real estate market. A little bit lower interest rates does not help the real estate market when lenders do not want to lend and income is not plentiful in order to qualify for loans. The real estate market, I think, is headed for another 30% decline.
What's the latest on the real estate markets?
Well, it's just that mortgage rates have come down, and it's really not helped much. Commercial real estate is in terrible shape because banks don't want to lend. Banks want to confiscate the properties when the mortgage ends and they cannot refinance. It's a predatory situation now with the big banks and commercial property. The real estate market, I just don't think it can come back. I've been saying this now for 2 years. What we've got now with the U.S. government debt problem and the interest rate and the bond market distress, this is Lehman times five. And Lehman brought about 10 and 15, 20% decline in the real estate market. I think we got something worse with the real estate market this time around. And the leading point of failure and decline is commercial real estate. It's turned predatory. The banks, I believe, are colluding not to refinance commercial mortgages, and instead they just take the property. Why refinance it when you can just seize the property title?
Do you think the price of crude oil is manipulated?
Well, yeah, the Rockefellers are in the room. The Rockefellers are the dominant monopoly in the oil market, and they bought their way in the 1950s and 60s decade. The crude oil market is manipulated. And look what happened in the first week after Biden stole the election and started occupying the White House and making executive orders by means of Obama's mouth and the puppet strings from the Rockefeller office. They closed down the Colonial Pipeline and all prices went up. Okay, the Rockefellers benefit from higher prices, so they do what they can to interfere with supply lines. And the Rockefeller connection to Saudi Arabia and UAE, it's being severed, and it's a long process. So yeah, the crude oil price is manipulated, but increasingly, Jim, it's Russia that controls the oil market, increasingly, because, you know, now we even got a name for it. We call it OPEC Plus. OPEC is a bunch of nations, you know, like Saudi and the Persian Gulf nations, UAE, but also Nigeria, Venezuela, Indonesia. Well, OPEC Plus means add Russia. And Russia has had Saudi on a leash for the last 3 or 4 years or more. And Russia's been dictating policy. Russia tells the Saudis what to say regarding their open-mouth petroleum policy. And as a result, expectations for reduced or amplified supply come about, and Russia's in control. So yeah, it's manipulated, but now it's a battle between Rockefellers and Russia. And it's really quite intriguing to watch.
Bitcoin hit over $100,000. Is Bitcoin the new gold?
I don't like that term. There is no new gold. Gold is the new gold. Gold will always be gold. And Bitcoin doesn't have the properties of gold. Bitcoin is not exactly fungible. And you can't put it on the bottom of a sea and recover it 30 years later with retained value. The interesting part right now is that Bitcoin has hit the target of 100,000. And you know, I want to clear some things up here. I've had a number of clients write to me, and even in Contact Us, which is more public. They say, Jim, aren't you aware of what Bitcoin is? Why do you like it so much? I have never in any interview said that I like Bitcoin. I have said Bitcoin serves a function. Bitcoin allows transparency in passing large amounts of funds from one party to another. Bitcoin allows movement of money without the dollar ferryman trying to snag 2% on the movement. Bitcoin has honorable participants and dishonorable participants like traffickers. Bitcoin serves a purpose. I'll give you an example. A fellow in South America gave me a gift of a couple grand, a couple thousand bucks, and I was very grateful. And he said, Jim, I want to give you some XRP. And I said, well, pass it along in Bitcoin, and I'll immediately buy XRP with it. And that's what happened. So the gift of XRP came in the form of Bitcoin, and I never held the Bitcoin for more than 4 hours. So Bitcoin serves a purpose in moving capital, moving funds. And I know that there's a lot of controversy on what is the basis of Bitcoin. And I understand all that. And that's why I don't use it as an investment. I move my Bitcoin into XRP. XRP is going to, I think, set the world on fire. Bitcoin is a device. It's not an investment. It's a wagon. It's not a destination. Anyway, there is no new gold. And remember that the CME can short the daylights out of Bitcoin whenever they feel like. And with the AI computers at work, I think Bitcoin is vulnerable. So I don't recommend keeping your money in it. And there's a certain fellow in Guatemala who owns 1 million Bitcoin, and he should be careful. I think he would be wise to diversify into coins that have intellectual property. I like the concept of mining. I think it has a lot of value. There's no mining and accounting function, verification, validation for the dollar. We don't know how much the Swiss, Colombians, or Mexican drug cartels hold. We don't know what Langley holds in Greek ports in containers in dollars. There's no auditing of dollars. You can't even audit the Pentagon. So don't tell me about the flaws of Bitcoin. The flaws of the dollar are 100 times worse. The new gold is still gold, and that will be quite apparent in the next few months.
Have a lot of cryptos been heating up?
Pretty much every crypto that I've been watching, and you know, I don't watch 100 of them. I watch 5 or 6 of them, and they're all doing well. There just seems to be a new era dawning with the United States getting out of the way, getting, you know, regulators no longer in a position or an expectation to be obstructing progress. Trump has some wild ideas about using Bitcoin as a reserve, and I'm more curious than I am quizzical. I'm sorry, more curious than I am doubtful about it. The United States needs reserves in order to diversify to Bitcoin, and last I checked, we have a lot of debt, as in $36 trillion. So you don't diversify, but there might be a staggeringly clever move by Trump and his group regarding the creation of a massive amount of wealth with, I think it's going to be XRP. I think the U.S. government's going to buy a lot of XRP with Elon's help, Elon Musk, and then send it past $100 and earn several trillion dollars. Okay, this is, maybe it's a pipe dream, maybe not, but there have been hints to this effect by the Trump people. And cryptos are heating up because the regulators are going to get out of the way. I'd like to see Reggie Middleton restored. Reggie Middleton has been persecuted. And I don't know why he has residence or banking in New York. That's a mystery to me. I don't get that. So he hung around and got persecuted and got trapped. But maybe Donald Trump and his appointments and his directors and agency heads and cabinet officials, maybe they'll do the right thing by Reggie and give him some restitution, because the Gensler SEC and the Biden show have been trying to steal Reggie Middleton's patents and digital architecture ownership, and it's pure corruption. Reggie needs to be restored. I think that should be a high order of business for the new Trump administration. Let's see what he does on that. But yeah, the cryptos have been heating up. XRP is doing very well. Elon Musk is talking about investment, a large sum investment. The partners and the integrators are all over the place now with XRP. Russia, Japan, they're going to be major areas where XRP is the intermediary. And, you know, we've got some serious fraud going on among the banks in the West. I'll give an example, like a $3,000 transfer from A to B, and they claim it's using SWIFT, but it's not. If it were SWIFT, it would be 2 to 3 days, but it's really 2 or 3 hours, which means it's quantum financial system. And the fact that it's not using SWIFT should mean that they should not charge $30 or $25 for the transaction, because QFS probably has in that two-hour transaction a cost of under $1, but they're charging $25. So there's some banking fraud during the transition. Very interesting.
Could the deep state crash markets and the economy to make President Trump look bad?
Well, yeah. Hell yeah. Loud yeah. Decimal 150 yeah. And I think they're going to try. I think they will have some degree of success. To me, the question is how much success will they have? Because there's absolutely no doubt they will try that. They will try to harm Americans. They will try to cut fuel. I mean, the supply of electricity, gasoline, diesel, and food. They will try to bring about some banker failures. And it's going to be interesting to see how Trump works to obstruct that kind of a disaster. You know, the easiest thing they could do would be to have Wall Street see a bond market crisis and have a Dow and S&P and NASDAQ crash. That'd be the easiest of all. Very easy. And that's kind of where I expect to see the first blush of the sabotage. But, you know, we've been talking about this threat for a while. And one thing I've learned in the last few years is that when a threat is evident and recognized, the longer it doesn't happen, the more unlikely it will because of preparation and defense of what is anticipated. So I think we're going to see some mini crashes, and it's going to be interesting. I think the biggest battle is going to be with the Congress and Department of Government efficiency, cutting the budget, cutting the Medicare, Medicaid, cutting military budget. That's where the big, big battles are going to come. And reducing the federal job roles, the bureaucracy, and removing the deep state traitors who influenced, you know, censoring with big tech. The battles are going to be absolutely enormous for eliminating the bureaucracy, the waste, and the budget battles.
Who do you think is trying to kill President Trump, and are they likely to try again?
I think there are three groups. I've identified three groups rather easily. They're going to be very defensive about their trough, whereas they are the pigs at the trough. It's the Rockefeller complex for medicine, American Medical Association, Big Pharma. Not just that, but Food and Drug Administration battles that are coming. Trump and Robert Kennedy Jr. are going to want to reform that, restructure that, and I think the Rockefellers are going to see a lot of threats to their Medicare, Medicaid, $1.3 trillion budget, annual budget. Rockefellers, I think, are going to try to kill Trump. That's one. The second one is what I call the warriors. You know, I've been complaining ever since I started the newsletter. We've had a war ongoing at all times for the entire 21 and a half years of the newsletter. I had called it the Endless War, but it actually has a name now in the press of a forever war. So military and the Pentagon want a forever war as long as we don't have nuclear annihilation and conflagration. So if Trump tries to cut back on the war and bring about peace in the Middle East, I think they're going to try to kill him. They've got an $840 or $880 billion annual budget for the military. There's nothing defensive about it. We aggravate war. NATO is an aggravating alliance. It's not defensive in any way, shape, or form. So if Trump tries to cut back on war and cut back on the military budget, the warriors are going to try to kill him. And the third group is the Langley narcos. They've been creating and controlling a number of different big tech factories like Facebook and a few other locations. And I think they've been funneling in narco money by way of the Swiss Central Bank. And I think they've been creating little titans in big tech country that are obedient to Langley. And if Trump tries to stop the censoring in a big way and fire people in the government, in the deep state, who are influencing the censorship that we saw not only in the election, but in the vaccine and medical threat with virus, it was a fake pandemic, and it's a deadly vaccine. And we've got the information system and sector protecting that censorship. If Trump tries to eliminate that censorship, I believe Langley and its narcos will try to kill Trump. So it's medicine, the warriors, and Langley narco information that are very likely to continue with the threats to kill Donald Trump. You know, we keep hearing over and over again, Jim, that Trump is in Cheyenne Mountain. And the pictures that we saw in Paris, France, of a version of Trump meeting with the 5'7" Macron in France, well, that Trump was 2 inches taller than the 5'7" Macron. Emmanuel Macron. Okay, fine. I can pronounce it in French if you wish. That doesn't change the fact that that version of Trump was about 5'9". He's 6'3". So why is he not 8 inches taller than Macron? Because it's not him. Then you got a picture in Mar-a-Lago of a family portrait, and Trump is about the same height as Donald Jr., who is 5'10". Trump is 6'3". Why is he not 5 inches taller than Donald Jr.? Because it's not Trump. Okay, there's a second Trump roaming around, and that's a really good way not to kill the real Donald Trump. Now, the biggest question related to that, Jim, is who controls the other Donald Trump, who's 5'10"? And I'll leave that as an unanswered question.
President Trump's talking about removing the federal income tax and replacing it with tariffs. Your thoughts?
I thought what he said was replace the income tax with the value-added tax like Europe. He calls it a universal sales tax. That's not a tariff. His stupid shit idea is 100% tariff. That's not mentioned in the same breath as income tax. National sales tax is. The tariff is one of the stupidest things I've ever heard by a sitting president or a president-elect in my adult life. So the idea of replacing income tax with a national sales tax, I believe, is actually quite valid, quite creditable, legitimate. But it's going to have to be a high tax. I mean, can you imagine a 10% sales tax in the United States? I mean, certain areas have a state sales tax, and New York, you know, communist New York, they have a city sales tax. Okay, you know, you can't get around bankruptcy. There's no solution to the U.S. government debt. So claiming that we can get rid of the federal income tax with a national sales tax is not going to be a solution. We have to reduce the size of government, reduce the budget, stop the endless war, and you know, get going with a gold-backed currency, because the tariffs, they're just ridiculously stupid.
President Trump mentioned the idea of Canada being the 51st state. Canada has 10 provinces, 3 territories. That would be an additional 13 states. What are your thoughts on pro and con?
I don't like the idea. Canada is run by the Communist China group, and the United States is run by the Communist China group and the Geneva fascist narcos. So that's a marriage made in hell. I don't think 3 territories will become 3 states. You can't have a representative for a territory that might have only about 10,000 people. I mean, like the Northwest Territories and the Yukon Territories, and I don't know what the third one is.
None of it.
Pardon me?
None of it. That's what it's called. Okay. That's what it's called.
Okay. Well, I don't think they have sufficient population to have representation with senators. I hate the idea. I think it's really a bad idea. I'd like to see Canada clean itself up and the United States clean itself up. Canada has a tougher job, I believe, a much tougher job. I don't want to get into why I think it's a much tougher job. It's just, I think it's much more difficult for Canada to remove the Chinese influence because, for among other things, Canada owns the tar sands in the West, and they own a lot of mining properties in the West of Canada. Here's what I think should be done, and I doubt will be done. The United States, state by state, should run a referendum for whether the citizens want it. And I think it would be overwhelmingly rejected. Even the border states like Minnesota, Michigan, Maine, I think they would reject it. New York might accept it because they're lunatic communists. Also, I believe that if such a step is considered, there should be a constitutional Congress in the capital of the U.S. in order to consider it. But again, there was a short version of Donald Trump who met the criminal Queen Trudeau in Mar-a-Lago in Florida, and I'm pretty sure it was not the real Donald Trump. So this version of Donald Trump recommended that Trudeau, the Queen, Trudy, be the governor of Canada, and I think he's not even qualified to be dog catcher or garbage can collector. And you guys need to get your Royal Canadian Mounted Police in order so that you can exercise arrests, starting with Freeland and Singh in the Parliament. Get the evidence, get the press on your side, show the corruption of Trudeau. And I don't like the idea. I don't think there's been any formal process for this. And therefore, I don't think it was Donald Trump who recommended it. Donald Trump is a procedure guy. There's no procedure behind what I heard. Terrible idea.
Which Trudeau was at the Mar-a-Lago meeting with President Trump?
I'm not sure which Trudeau was there, but I don't think it was the actual Donald Trump either. So it might have been a fake Trudeau and a fake Trump to try to get a concept floated and get the people upset and angry. I don't know. We're going to find out maybe in the coming weeks. But I think we have a couple of shockers coming up, especially like emergency broadcasts. I think we're actually getting kind of close to that. And there are going to be a lot of revelations. And one of them could be, hey, look, Donald Trump is too valuable to put him out there in the line of fire. He's in Cheyenne Mountain, guys. What part of this do you not understand? He's in Cheyenne Mountain, guys. What part of this do you not understand? In the Republican convention in Milwaukee, there was a guy who hugged and embraced and stood next to and held the arms up, hands up, next to J.D. Vance, who's 5'9", and they were almost the same height. Trump is 6'3". I keep saying that. Therefore, he's 6 inches taller than Vance, and that was not evident even at the convention. So I think we're being played. I think for high security reasons, Trump is in Cheyenne Mountain, and he's probably laughing his ass off at how people are calling him Trump out there. They got the hair right, but you know, when you see a Donald Trump in public and he looks fresh and he looks closer to 65 than he does 80 and he doesn't have any wrinkles in his face, that ain't Trump.
Doubles and clones, what's the latest?
Lots of them. Lots of doubles, lots of clones. And the clone technology is gradually getting out there, even for the sleepiest and dumbest and least educated Americans and Canadians. My line of criticism is, well, why should I value your opinion on clones when you haven't kept up with technology for the last half century? I said that to some family members. The clone technology was revealed with that, what was it, a sheep? I think it was a sheep in the 1990s, and they announced that they did a clone of a sheep. Oh my gosh, that's when they were announcing that they have clones for humans, but they didn't want to say so, so they changed the word human to sheep. That's how long we've had clones, 30 years. There's 7 clone centers on the globe, and I hear 5 of them are in Europe. I think 2 of them are in Switzerland. There are lots of doubles, there are lots of clones. And here's how some of the action might have been playing out and still playing out. A bad actor in the deep state, maybe a congressman or a woman, is taken out and replaced with a clone. And it looks just like it. And, you know, when you're on the congressional floor, they tend not to pull their pants down to see if you got genitalia. They tend not to do that. So it's a nice forum to maintain a clone and that secret that it's a clone. But the clone could be controlled by the black hats, or the clone could be controlled by the white hats. I hear that there are more clone facilities run by the black hats than the white hats. So that stands to reason that there are a majority of bad actors, clones. Like for instance, what's his face? Merrick Garland, the attorney general. It is now being reported in certain circles, and you can... add your own subjectivity to how reliable those circles are. But we are now on version 4 of Merrick Garland, the attorney general. Here's what I think is going to happen, Jim, and I've given this a lot of thought because I've been aware of clones now for several years. Bill Gates, I believe, was killed and trampled and beaten to death in India about 7 years ago by angry parents whose kids were killed by the Gates Foundation polio vaccine. There were 500,000 Indians killed. 500,000. And the angriest showed up at a stage, and they stormed the stage, and this was not in the Western news, but it was in the Indian news. And I got some contacts who are Indian and who have in-laws who are Indian. Indian with the red dot, not the feather. All right. Then there are reports that Bill Gates was executed for crimes against humanity by a Guantanamo or other tribunal related to the U.S. military. So that's two deaths. I personally have in my collection three versions of Bill Gates, and they do not look exactly alike. They look like maybe brothers, you know, similar enough to be considered Bill Gates to an undiscerning, semi-dull person. When I see Bill Gates, I immediately wonder, gee, I don't think that's quite the same fellow that we had way back in Microsoft days, even aging. Not quite the same guy. In my three pictures, I point out that the mouth structure, the mouth, is different in all three versions. The original guy actually had a nice smile. Regardless of how evil he was, he had a nice smile. The original Bill Gates. The second Bill Gates had a different mouth and not the same teeth. His smile and teeth were different. The third one has what I call a curved mouth and no teeth, evident in his smile, and you might say chicken lips. Chicken lips and no teeth showing in his smile. Okay, there's three different versions of Bill Gates. What I think is going to happen, Jim, is that we're going to put down another Bill Gates, and then later we're going to put down another Bill Gates, and then the talk is going to be, holy shit, we're up to seven Bill Gateses now. There must be clone technology. That's the evidence.
Does it look like the swamp is going to get drained?
Yeah, but it's so big, and it's got so many creatures in it that it's going to take a while. And, you know, I'm reading articles that are very positive that the swamp is vacating, the creatures in the swamp are vacating their own swamp. The pedos are vacating the United States. I'd like to know where they're going. I think a lot of them are going to Patagonia in Argentina, but I still maintain that a number of them are going into the safest parts of Israel and to Paraguay. Paraguay is rather calm. It's a beautiful country. My brother visited Paraguay and Argentina and Uruguay, and he said, Jim, I got to tell you, Paraguay was breathtaking beautiful. I can see why the Nazis liked it. The drain is going to take a long time. Trump thinks that he can identify the swamp creatures in the deep state. You know, a lot of people don't know what the deep state is. They're career employees in the Department of State. They're below the Undersecretary of State. So there's a new Secretary of State. She assigns a new Undersecretary of State, and almost everybody below that is the same person. And the deep state will say to the new Secretary of State, stick it up your ass. We're not doing what you want us to do. We work for Obama. That is the risk. And it's the State Department, it's the Treasury Department, it's National Security, it's the Department of Interior, it's Health and Human Services. They all have mid-level career employees, and that is why I think Trump says, I want to reduce the government, not just to cut back on the employee salaries and costs, but to get rid of the deep state. Sorry, we're eliminating your department. You got 25 people. We're going to keep it at two, and we're going to keep the two that we like and get rid of everybody else. And you're going to have lawsuits and civil service claims for violations, and it's going to be a big, big battle, and it's going to be fun to watch. But Elon and Vivek are going to be in focus, and on the health and medical side, Robert Kennedy is going to be in focus. By that, I mean a target on their back. By the Rockefellers, by the Warriors, and by the Langley Narcos. I think, Jim, I think by the time we get to the end of Trump's second term, we get into 2028, it's going to be quite clear that progress has been made, but there's still more to do. Let's change that date. By the time we get to the end of 2026 with midterm elections, we're probably going to have a conclusion that progress has been made, but there's more to do in draining the swamp, because some of the swamp creatures have hidden their identity. Some of the swamp creatures will placate Trump and not be loyal to him. It's going to be very complicated and difficult.
Could President Biden's pardon of his son Hunter backfire on him?
It already has. I think the pardon is actually nails in the coffin for the Democratic Party. That's how serious I think this is. The bias in the press, the mail-in fraud votes, they all worked to undermine the Democratic Party. And now you're seeing the Democratic Party fundraisers and high-level officials coming forth saying that their internal polls had Kamala Harris 20% and 30% behind, which means they were actively promoting falsified polls done by the press networks and the printed press, like New York Times rag and Washington Post rag and Los Angeles Times rag. So these press networks and the media are in danger now of going down with the Democrat Party and dragging down the Democrat Party. I believe the pardon, see, it's not just the pardon of Hunter. He's done preemptive pardons, or the puppet claiming to be Biden. It's not Biden. Biden's long gone. Got to wake up. The pardons given, let's use passive voice there, the pardons given are for all kinds of people. It's for Liz Cheney. It's for Fauci. It's for Hunter. It's for all kinds of people, who even people who have not been prosecuted. You cannot give a pardon to someone who's not been convicted. So that's how absurd it's become. And now the Democratic Party is going to be the laughing stock for the country in political terms for the next 2 years. We might see something, Jim, by midterm elections, November 26. We might see the Congress, which means the House of Representatives and the Senate, we might see it two-thirds, three-quarters Republican or more from the wreckage and destruction and dishonor of the Democratic Party. And if they're ever caught with evidence with the Democratic National Committee associated with Clinton murders, the party might get shut down.
We'll have more with Jim Willie right after this.
Don't miss out. Stay informed. Receive the HowStreet.com weekly recap with thought-provoking podcasts, radio, and articles delivered to your inbox. Sign up for the HowStreet.com weekly recap on our homepage at HowStreet.com.
You're listening to GoldRadio.fm. Available online at HowStreet.com, TalkDigitalNetwork.com.
Welcome back. We're speaking with Jim Willie. Jim, are we living through an extinction event?
I'm afraid to say yes. I believe, and I just don't want to get into warp speed and the entire issue of hastening the introduction and rollout of vaccines, but I do believe that if Hillary had won in 2016, we would have been in a much worse situation by the time the Biden stolen election took place. We're going to see a lot more dead people from the vaccine. I lost my favorite college roommate. I had three, Bruce, and Rick. Bruce, and Rick. My New York Bruce is dead. My Ohio Bruce is, he's a bit of a lame brain. He buys all the Iraqi terrorists and jihad bullshit, and we've had problems. But my other roommate, Rick, he just stuck with alcoholism, and we've drifted apart. So I don't have any really close college roommates, but I do have a roommate of a roommate, a guy in Ohio, Northeast Ohio, and he's very, very solid guy, and I visited him a number of times back in 04, 05, and 06. But this is an extinction attempt, and there are a number of really smart people, including Edward Dowd, and they believe that in the next 2 years, we're likely to see another wave of deaths from cancer, heart attacks, and just a widespread assortment of diseases because the vaccinated have AIDS. They have wrecked immune systems. This is tragic. I believe the estimates now in the United States are about 6 million who are dead from the vaccine, and 4 to 5 times, so like 20,000, 25,000 who are very seriously injured. I'm sorry, 20, for 25 million who are very seriously injured. 6 million dead, up to 25 million injured, and those injured are at risk of dying. They're the first ones in line with big risk. I mean, if they're injured, they're at risk of dying. If they're not injured, then they've got to go through the entire pathogenesis of being injured. So we've got a potential for 30 million. 30 million out of 330. That's 1 in 11. Now, that's not an extinction, but it's a very large percent of our population, enough to affect the economy, the labor market, the housing market, just about every market. So, yeah, it's an attempt at an extinction event, and it leads me to a forecast that I have that Donald Trump is going to punt. He is not going to pursue Nuremberg trials in 2025. He's going to delay because of threats to his life by the Rockefeller Hive, the Rockefeller Institute, and the FDA hitmen. FDA has murderers for hire. Murderers for hire. We need to get past the naivete. We have to wake up. The FBI, Big Pharma, and FDA have murdering hitmen. I got a quick story to tell you. It was 2014. I got contacted by a friend of mine, an American living in Panama. He said, Jim, remember I spoke about my sister? She works in Miami area. Well, her boss was murdered, and they work at a clinical laboratory, and he submitted a paper to reveal the contents, including Nagalees, in all the vaccines. And this was way before the mRNA COVID fake virus vaccine. It was the standard vaccine that's produced 1.3% autism in the United States without an uproar. And I asked him more questions, and he said, there were 5 murders. My sister's boss and 4 others all murdered, and they had a couple things in common, a few things in common. They all got visited by the FBI. The FBI wanted them to hold back on publishing their report, identifying Nagalees, which is an immune system suppressant. They wanted them to not appear in Switzerland for a conference. And then the other thing they had in common was the FDA visited them with what looked to be armed officers. And the other thing they had in common was they were all murdered by a shotgun and their body dumped in the Okefenokee swamps north of Miami. Okay, this is hitman. Hitman with the FBI, hitman with the FDA, hitman with Big Pharma. They were going to expose Big Pharma and the actual chemical and molecule with identification of its makeup, Nagalees, to suppress the human immune system and make a good Big Pharma client for life. Okay, they have murderers. Okay, this is an extinction event. And what Donald Trump is trying to do is make extinct the swamp creatures, and they're going to fight back.
How many people do you think really have been vaccinated so far?
I think it's about 6 million dead, up to 25 million seriously injured, and could be candidates for a death in the next couple of years. And what I learned ever since I was a kid is whatever numbers you have for the United States, divide by 10, and that applies to Canada. So they might have about 600,000 dead in Canada and another 2.5 million seriously injured. But I believe in Canada it was a little more strict in enforcing the health mandate. I love that, health mandate. Yeah, execution order. You want your job, you want to keep it, well, you got to take a roulette to kill yourself.
Comedian Ron White says you can't fix stupid. What makes people stupid?
I've given this a lot of thought, Jim. It's a number of things. I think video games make people stupid. Video games. I'm very serious with that. Video games. They could be reading a book, reading a novel. They could be solving puzzles. They could be doing math problems. But instead, they're doing something stupid, like having a creature jump over obstacles and collect balls. Adults playing video games, so they don't become adults mentally. I do believe that a rather significant slice of humans are born stupid. They're not given an adequate potential for their cerebrum. Their cerebral cortex doesn't have a great potential for development. Another factor is the, there was a group, I can't think of their name, Pink Floyd. Pink Floyd has a video, and it was very, very popular. We don't want your education. Bum ba bum 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 ba bum. We don't want your education. Why? Why? I was held back by my education. James, will you sit still? Sorry, sister, but I'm bored. Sit still or you'll have detention. So what is education in that sixth grade environment? It's conformity. Sit down, shut up. If you're bored, sit down, shut up. If you find everything easy and you're not challenged, sit down, shut up. Okay, education is designed to meet the needs of the average. And what I like is something I saw about 30 years ago, open classroom. I think it's a great idea. Open classroom. You don't have all the students lined up like soldiers sitting in fixed formation in alphabetical order where they're told to sit down and shut up. So education is part of the problem. Vaccination is part of the problem. Fluoriding water is part of the problem. There are a lot of parts of the problem. Incompetent parents is a problem. I'll give you an example of an incompetent parent. Okay, Johnny or, you know, Susie, take your pick. They were playing and they kept breaking something because they were careless and they were ignoring. Okay, no television for you. Your favorite show, not tonight. And you're not going to go to camp. You're not going to go to camp because you broke something in the backyard. Okay, illogic in punishment. I'll give you an example of a logical punishment. Johnny or Susie snitched a couple of cookies over the refrigerator using a chair. And they did so at 3 p.m. And the parent caught them. So the punishment was no cookies after dinner. Logical. If you make it illogical, you teach the child vengeance. You don't teach them logic and you don't teach them to think. You teach them to attack. And it's really quite unfortunate to watch. I had a very badly raised friend named Jeffrey when I was a kid. And I knew he was badly raised, but he was my friend. And I, you know, when you have a friend, you want the best, you want to think the best, you want to expect that the next year the guy's going to be, you know, a little bit better and betray you less and things like that, not steal your lunch money when you're not looking, you know, stuff like that. But I found Jeff Kelly, he was swinging cats against plywood with nails coming out of it, 16 penny nail. He said, Jim, you want to do this? It's really fun. I said, you're sick. What is wrong with you? I never spoke to him again. Badly raised. I saw his father, and he was incompetent. So it's a lot of things. Video games, badly raised, bad education system, fluoride to keep your brain, you know, calcified or whatever it is, calcification of the pineal gland. The cabal doesn't want us to be healthy. They want us to be good clients for their medical and pharmaceutical products. They don't want us to be smart to organize and rebel. They want us to be dumb and compliant animals. And that's why they don't like me. That's why they don't like you and many of your listeners, because they're smart. And the smartest are called conspiracy nuts, and we're called that by some of the dumbest people in the room.
Jim, how can our listeners subscribe to the Hat Trick Letter?
It's golden-jackass.com. I'm in my 21st year. I got a great website manager. He's been with me now for 5 full years. He's a great guy. He's from Holland. He's bilingual. We've also got consult calls. I've got 3 or 4 to do right now, so I arrange them. And I just, you know, if someone signs up and it's time to try to execute it, I say, you know, pick a time in the next 2 or 3 days. And sometimes they're very prompt in answering. Sometimes they're not. Sometimes they say next week looks better. So that's the way we work the consult calls. And Jim, I've done almost 800 of them now. 5 full years, 800. It's a lot. I enjoy it. It's a lot. I do about 2 or 3 a week. When I really get going, I sometimes do 6 or 7 in a week. But, you know, when it gets intense for producing the Hat Trick Letter, the newsletter, I pull back a little bit and say, I'll catch you next week. And that's why I end up doing 2 or 3 or 4 in a single week. There's also a donate button, and honestly, there are a lot of really fine people who don't want the newsletter. They want to support me, and they want to just catch the interviews like this. And they go from one to the next and miss maybe a couple, and they find another that have their favorite hosts. And they write to me and say, how can I support you? I say, hit the donate button. And they do so, and I see the result of their donation, and it's a wonderful thing. I've got a small group, and you know, it's always a wish that it'd be much, much bigger, but there's a sponsor button, and that's for a four-figure donation. I call them sponsors because they're sponsoring a mission. My mission is for the truth and to promote liberty and to eliminate corruption and Satanism, and that's why I get harmed. Those people who don't understand Satanism, there's a lot you're not aware of. Don't dismiss deep, dark, powerful forces just because you don't understand it. Let me give you another example of something that people don't understand and therefore they should not dismiss. They should not dismiss integral calculus. They should not dismiss Fourier analysis. They should not dismiss nuclear energy. They don't understand it, but they cannot say, they should not say it doesn't exist. Satanic forces are real. The fact that people don't understand it doesn't mean it doesn't exist. It means they don't understand it, they haven't studied it, they haven't experienced it, they haven't suffered from it. And I have. And it's been 8 years now. 8 years. And it's been painful. I'm tired. I'm tired of being harmed. So anyway, the website has a flagship newsletter. I offer consult calls. You can make donations. And if you wish, you can become a sponsor. Some of my sponsors are regular, large donators, and it's a wonderful thing to see. And honestly, for the last 2 years, I've been falling to my knees, thanking the Lord God, Jesus, for the sponsor donation. That's how important it is for my own survival. I have had unspeakable losses, and I've had several miracles where I needed to come up with money for an extortion or a big medical bill or something. And suddenly I had a large donation of equal size. This has happened about 5 or 7 times. And that's just wonderful to see. I just had a donation for XRP. The guy said, I want to keep supporting you, Jim. As you know, XRP is way up. I think it's going to go up a lot higher. I said, okay, just send me the Bitcoin and I'll transfer it to XRP. He said, okay, great. And it was done in 6 hours. Okay, I've had a lot of wonderful clients. Many of them are Christian. Some of them are truth warriors, as I call them. They're not necessarily religious, but they believe in supporting the truth and promoting the truth and getting it out there. So that's what the newsletter is all about. It's about honest money, preserving your life savings, staying safe from a fake virus, a fake pandemic, and a deadly vaccine with a double X. And someone pointed out to me, Jim, all vaccines are harmful. Yeah, I realize that. But the mRNA vaccine has produced turbo cancer and accelerated AIDS and shingles in a way that the standard vaccine doesn't. The standard vaccine debilitates, like the one that we've had for 40 years. It debilitates the immune system, and with all the different adjuvants and, what do you call them, contaminants, has produced autism. I have one colleague with an autistic child. It's all avoidable. They're ramping up the contaminants in standard vaccines. So if you're an idiot and you think it's necessary to get a flu shot every year, you're probably committing suicide. Let that sink in.
Jim, thank you so much for being on the show.
Well, it's been a pleasure like always, and say hello to Tom. Thanks very much.
My guest has been Jim Willey, editor of the Hat Trick Letter, online at golden-jackass.com.
Comments made on goldradio.fm are an expression of opinion only and should not be construed in any manner whatsoever as recommendations to buy or sell any financial instrument at any time. Available online at howstreet.com, talkdigitalnetwork.com. GoldRadio.fm is a production of House Street Media Incorporated. Executive producer is Tom Allen.